Good morning, everyone. My name is Heath, and our friend Adam is sick, along with Lori and the kids. And so today, I am using Adam's notes, because Adam made this message. God gave it to him, and I'm giving it to you. And that's all that we do. Because the real preacher here is not me or Adam or any one person that comes up here, but it is the Holy Spirit. That's the only one that can open up your heart, break your heart, and show you what God has for you. We're going to read from Matthew 2. And I know that Christmas is tomorrow and Christmas hasn't happened yet, but and it is about Jesus' birth. Heaven coming down. I don't know if it's being fatigued, but the tireder that I get, the more emotional I get. I cannot always make it home by listening to sad country songs after I've been on call. And they just touch me in a certain way, especially the Conway Twitty songs about that's my job. That's a tearjerker. But I tell you, some of the stuff we sang just a moment ago, like, it hit me. I had never heard it in that way before. Like in the hymnal 101, he's no longer a stranger. Not to me. And I hope he's not a stranger to you either. So let's read Matthew 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 all the way through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this he was disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Verse 5, "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, so last time I spoke, I had a movie reference. I have another one. Has anybody seen the movie The Star? It's a cartoon movie. My children have seen it. We watch it many times. It is probably one of my favorite cartoon movies that describe what I have just read to you. It may not be completely accurate, because the animals speak and have a significant role in all the going-ons that happen in this event. But I think it's a true depiction. It gives reverence to the events that are happening. And even the animals can't deny it. So if you haven't seen that movie and you want something fun to watch, I'd encourage you to watch it. It's called The Star. So who were these men, these magi, these kings that came and followed a star, maybe hundreds of miles, I don't know how far they went, to seek a king? They were wise men. They were astrologers. They studied the stars, and they saw something that they had never seen before. And so to use astrologers, people who studied mediums, sorcerers, sorcery, to use them in the story of Jesus is kind of strange. It stands out. It's like, why would God use those people to bring treasures and worship God? Well, one, he is worthy of worship. But two, God can use anybody to bring about his story. And so it's an example that we may not be where we should be, but God can use us right where we are. And we don't have to do anything to change who we are to come to Jesus. You don't have to get cleaned up, or when you finally break your addiction, or you finally make the decisions that you think are the best decisions before God, then you'll be ready to come to God. He wants you right where you are. But when you come, he's not going to leave you right where you are. He's going to change who you are, and he's going to send you on your path. And so these magi, they came looking for Jesus. They came looking for the king, and they were the unlikely choice, but God used them. Their journey was significant. They came from the east. Yeah, that's right. And they were following a star. And we don't know exactly how far they traveled, but it cost them something. It cost them their time and their wealth. They probably didn't travel alone. It was probably a great group of people traveling together to support their efforts. And so when we become seekers of God, it will probably cost us something. It'll probably cost our energy and our time. We may have to let go of something or sacrifice it for the purpose of finding God. But their response was accurate. Their response of worship was the right response. When they found him, they bowed down and they gave what they had to him because he was worthy of their worship. He was worthy of gifts. And so they were led by a light to the one who would become the light of the world. Jesus is the light in this dark world that we live in, and we need to follow his light. I'm going to read what Adam wrote here. It says, "You see, church, the wise men were seeking for something that they could not find in the solar system, galaxies, or stars. Something was missing within their vast knowledge of the stars. So they turned to the one who created the stars. They had a hole inside their hearts, just as we all do. And that hole was not in the shape of a star. It was a God-sized hole. That only he could fill, and we had the same hole inside of us. You see, the things of this world will never fully and finally satisfy us. And I know it's Christmas, and I am excited, just as excited as my children are, to give them the gifts that their mother and I have planned for the last several weeks. Like, is this enough? We do things in the same. Like, we got four children, so everybody gets the same number of gifts. And if one gift somehow gets merged into something else, then we gotta replace that gift. We try to make it all nice and even, and we put a lot of effort into it because we love our children, and God loves you, and he gives good gifts to his children. But these things will never fully and finally satisfy. In fact, I cannot remember all the things I got last Christmas, and probably neither can they. Neither can us, right? Because these things of this world, they fade away. They break. They disappear. They're not meant to last. And so we need to remember this, and we need to remember that the devil, his temptations are tempting. But he only comes at us in three ways. It's either lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. But it never fulfills. It never lasts. So, how do we seek out the thing that will last? How do we seek out the eternal? First, we need to seek out truth. Truth from God's Word. John 8, 33 and 32 says this, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So God's word is eternal. God's word is true. And in John 14, 5 and 7, we see Jesus answer Thomas, one of his disciples, like this. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The second thing is we need to seek wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 explains where wisdom starts. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit is understanding. So here we see the true wisdom comes from our faith in the Lord, and knowing Him brings about true understanding. There's six of them total, so I got four more. We seek security. Some of us seek security in the things we own. We think that if I get to this point in life, if I graduate with this degree, or if I get that job, or if I have this number in my wallet, then I will be secure. Security comes from knowledge of the Lord and our faith. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We seek hope. Hope. We should seek our hope and bring about hope in a dark and hopeless world. Romans 5:4-5 says this, show us that a hope rooted in Christ does not let us down. It says, endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We need to seek joy. And joy is different than happiness because happiness revolves around our happenings. Like tomorrow morning, or tomorrow whenever your family decides to get together, there's going to be some extreme happiness. The food, the presents, however y'all choose to celebrate, it is going to be happy. But happiness is only revolving around what's happening right then and there. Because things change. People need naps. And just ask a 2 or 4 year old. They're happy, but too much sugar, not enough sleep leads to a whole different situation. So we need to seek joy. Joy is a decision that we must seek after daily. 1 Peter 1:8-9 shows us that our joy should lie within our salvation, something that cannot be taken away. Because we didn't do it. Jesus did it. It says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him, you believe in Him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. Because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And lastly, we should seek a true relationship with our Heavenly Father. The song we sang says that He didn't want heaven without us. So He brought heaven down. He did that because He wants you. And not the future version of you, but you right now. That's the whole meaning of Christmas. It's the reason we celebrate. Because now we can have a relationship with God. We no longer need the priest to sacrifice an animal to cover our sins like they did before Jesus. He was the final sacrifice. He is the true gift. And through Him, we can be free. So church, our Lord and Savior is worth seeking and searching for. Just as the wise men sought after him so long ago, let us focus on him, make it a priority to seek his face in all that we do. This is a beautiful story, and we hear it every year. But let's not view it just as a story. See it for what it is, a sacrifice like none other for you and for me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for loving us first. Thank you for loving us so much that you wouldn't leave us where we were, but you would send your son Jesus as a baby to grow into a man, to fulfill your will. God, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate what Jesus has done. And God, we pray for those in this world that need you. God, we pray for our families and our friends and for ourselves, that we will be daily reminded of what you gave up so that we could have what we need. God, we love you and we praise you. Amen.